Who needs consumer demand to make money?
This podcast is supported by 23andMe DNA Kit, designed to provide over 200 personalized health reports and knowledge to make informed personal health decisions. Your DNA Kit is available at 23andMe.com/marketplace.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Wednesday, the 17th of April. And Bank of America said this morning its profit quadrupled last quarter compared with a year ago, but that was still below expectations. Toymaker Mattel also reported a quadrupling of profit last quarter, helped in part by cost cutting. For analysis, we're joined by David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist with JP Morgan Funds. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what do you make of earnings season so far? I mean, there have been a mix of companies, some coming in better than expected, some worse.
Overall, it looks okay. I mean, when we look at the 46 companies that have reported so far through last night, earnings per share was up about 5.6% year over year. At least that's what we think the overall season will be. Sales aren't great, so this is coming from margins. I think you're right about the cost cutting. That clearly is showing up in the numbers. But overall, companies are finding a way of growing profits slowly, even in a difficult environment.
You're saying that they're still making their money by cutting costs rather than getting more demand from consumers.
Well, both. I mean, that's true. I mean, I think it is a slow global economy. It's a relatively slow U.S. economy. And so they need to cut costs as well as grow revenues. But that's part of the way the economy grows. I mean, a lot of bigger companies, older companies cut costs. Newer companies come along and they expand their workforces. It's really part of the process. What I think is encouraging is that even in a relatively challenging economic climate, companies are still managing to find some way of growing profits.
What are the sectors that are doing best right now?
In terms of surprises, companies beating expectations, consumer discretionary and financials are actually surprising on the upside. We've got they're both beating estimates by a good deal. But it's pretty early in the season. We've only got about 10% of the companies in the door. So it's a little early to say. But if you have more exposure to the U.S. economy and less exposure to the European economy, you're probably doing better this quarter.
David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist with JP Morgan Funds. Thanks as always.
Anytime.
Well, we've been reporting for some time that sky-high U.S. carbon dioxide emissions have been falling, but a report out this morning from the International Energy Agency suggests the global energy picture is not one to write home about. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
The U.S. is using and spewing less carbon these days. Chalk it up to better car mileage, energy efficiency, and the fracking boom. We burn more natural gas for electricity and less dirty coal.
However, that is still pretty much a U.S. phenomenon.
Marcus Rocca is with the International Energy Agency. The IEA's new report shows that globally, the carbon inside every unit of energy produced is virtually unchanged from 20 years ago. One reason? The natural gas revolution has yet to go global.
Whereas we in the United States do see a lot of coal to gas switching, in fact, in Europe, we see the opposite.
Coal use in Europe has gone up lately, as well as in emerging economies like China and India. Kevin Book is with Clearview Energy.
It's safe to say that energy demand is growing fastest in the countries that can least afford renewables. So what they're using primarily is coal.
The IEA says without more action, global temperatures are on track to rise at least 2 degrees Celsius. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
This podcast is supported by 23andMe, a personal DNA kit so individuals can better understand how their genes impact health, which means individuals and their doctors find health areas to keep an eye on. 23andMe also gives ancestry information and helps discover global origins or perhaps find relatives. Available today at 23andMe.com/marketplace. That's the number 23andMe.com/marketplace.
Gold prices are down again this morning after falling by more than 10% since Friday. That's the biggest drop in 30 years. Oil prices are also lower, and this drop in the cost of commodities is bringing back concerns about deflation. Joining us for our Money Matters segment, where we look at how the economic issues of the day are affecting your wallet, is Patty Hirsch, Senior Producer of Personal Finance at Marketplace. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so deflation is something that has been a concern for several years now. I guess it is again because prices of gasoline and other things are starting to fall a little bit. But remind us exactly what it means, deflation.
So deflation is when the cost of goods falls sharply and creates a negative cycle for the economy.
which on the face of it doesn't sound like such a bad thing if things start to get cheaper, but I guess it is.
Right. I mean, it's great for consumers initially, but if goods stay cheap for too long, the businesses that sell those goods start to lose money. Then they start laying people off. Then consumption falls because the people who've been laid off aren't going to buy stuff. Companies lose more money, then start to go out of business. I'm pretty sure you've got this relentlessly shrinking economy, which is a really bad thing.
So if you are just an ordinary investor, maybe you've got a 401k or you've just got some stocks here and there or some bonds, what are you supposed to do to protect yourself from this?
The first thing is build a nice fat emergency fund, right? Because cash is the most important thing in deflation because cash retains its value, whereas, you know, goods obviously lose their value, so you can buy more stuff. The other thing you can do is you can start to pay off your debt because debt is cash out the door. The last thing you want in a deflationary period is to be losing cash. So the more debt that you can pay off, the better under those circumstances.
And in terms of your investments, I mean, there are these treasury inflation protected securities, but I don't think there are treasury deflation protected securities, are there?
No. And in fact, we've seen money flowing out of treasury inflated protection securities, these TIPS, over the last several months. What you can do, though, is you could maybe invest in things that are going to give you cash throughout the year. So you could invest in stocks that are paying a dividend. The second thing you can do is invest in bonds that are safe, for starters, because you want to make sure that you're investing in safe companies, if indeed you do use corporates, because they'll pay a nice steady income stream throughout the year. Also, treasury bonds, which are super safe and, again, give you income as time goes on.
But to be clear, there are just as many economists out there who are worried about inflation as there are about deflation right now. We're not saying that we're about to enter a deflationary spiral.
Not necessarily, no. I mean, people are worried because the price of commodities are falling. You know, the price of oil is falling. We saw gold fall dramatically this week. But no, nobody's tearing their hair out at the moment saying, deflation is coming, deflation is coming. It's just something that if you were an investor and you wanted to worry about these things, these are some of the steps that you could take.
And if they do start tearing their hair out, I'm sure we will come to you. Patty Hirsch, Senior Producer of Personal Finance at Marketplace. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Jeremy.
And finally, some companies think ahead and some think way ahead, which brings us to the Netherlands, where an organization called Mars One is about to start taking applications for people who want to go to Mars and be in a reality TV show about it in 10 years. Previous space travel is not required to apply, but according to the LA Times, there is expected to be a $25 application fee. I guess the only thing they haven't thought of is if reality television will still be around in 2023. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.